Last week we covered Mark, and that commission actually takes place during the tribulation. So Matthew 28, just going to start reading. In the end of the Sabbath, now remember, we talked about Sabbath last week, so this is the end of what Sabbath? Remember, there was two Sabbaths going on. Christ was crucified on the preparation day of the high Sabbath, which was the Passover, right? Okay? And the ladies come to anoint His body with these perfumes after the Sabbath, which was the weekly Sabbath. Okay? So there was obviously 3 days in between from the day He was, the preparation day of the Passover, to His resurrection. So you actually had two Sabbaths that have passed since then. So now we're talking in Matthew 28, in the end of the Sabbath, this is the weekly Sabbath. As it came to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. Okay? Now you would think that some of these other writers in Mark, Luke, and John would pick up some high points. You think an earthquake would be one of those things that they would pick up. You know, I would tell some stories about something that went off. No word about the earthquake. Okay? Only in Matthew does it talk about it. Okay? So we see the angel came down, he rolled back the stone, and he's sitting upon it. And no other book does it talk about him sitting on it either. It talks about the angels being in the tomb. Either one standing or sitting at either end of where Jesus had laid. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers. Now this is the first time we hear about the guards that were positioned up there. We mentioned this last week. I think it was Paul's dad mentioned it. I said, what have we not seen? What is supposed to be here that nobody has mentioned in Mark, Luke, and John? And it's the guards that the high priest had asked to be positioned out there. So here now we finally see him. And for fear of the keepers, he shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And I don't know how much time takes place here. Again, you have to kind of put this stuff together. Let me just go a little bit further. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. On these other books, you don't see anything about him telling them to go to Galilee. Okay? Where did they see him? Well, they saw him right there in Jerusalem. The other two saw him on the way to Emmaus and came back to Jerusalem and told the disciples and the rest that were with them that he had seen them. And, you know, of course, Mary went a couple times, at least, I'm thinking, more than three times back and forth to the sepulcher and was looking and seeing things. And this is why, because we'll pick this up here in just a second. In verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Okay? In John chapter 20, verse 17, what did Jesus tell the women? Don't touch him. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Okay? So we know that they have already had an encounter with him previous. At least once. In my mind, Mary went to the tomb the first time, and she saw the stone roll away, and she took off and went back to tell Peter and John. And when she came back with him, she saw the angels after Peter and John left. And so she's leaving again, and there was the, you know, don't touch me, and now here they're touching him, they're holding him by the feet. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when we read these other ones, these other books, we know eventually the disciples did go back to Galilee because what? They went fishing. And that's where they fish at. That's where their boat is. That's where they are. So we know when we read Luke and them that there was a pretty significant amount of time had gone by. the meeting of the two who went to Emmaus, the first time that he came unto them, the night of his resurrection there, where they were all gathered together and nobody believed that it was him. So there has been a pretty significant amount of time has passed before they went back to Galilee. Let's see, now verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, that's the keepers, came to the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Now we're reading this in about two or three verses, and it's happening pretty quick. Okay, so now you've got to imagine the guards, who were like dead men, scared to death. Okay, now the tomb is empty. What did the guard do when he woke up, when Paul, all the doors were open, when Paul was in prison, and he saw all the doors open? What did he do? Oh, he was fixing to kill himself. Why? You ain't allowed to do that. Okay? So you can imagine what's going through their heads as they're walking back into Jerusalem to tell these religious leaders of the Jews that, by the way, the stone's gone and so is Jesus. Okay? So he's thinking about this stuff. They're walking into Jerusalem. Now let's read on. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave them large sums of money to the soldiers. Okay, they had time to, let's see, showed to the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they assembled the elders, so the chief priests and elders. Hey, what time of day did this happen? I mean, it's not like I can send out a mass text message. They can send out a mass text message and everybody just show up at the synagogue all of a sudden. Okay? They had to go around to all these people and get them together. Okay? The chief priests and elders. And they got them all together. And, of course, this is still what's commonly reported today among the Jews, I guess. I've never heard them say it. But if it says in the Word, we know. But we gave them a large sum of money. You tell them that the disciples came during the night and took his body. And if this comes to... And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure him. Well, because if it comes to the governor's ear, they were dead. Because you don't fall asleep on your watch. You were set in charge of something. Nothing's supposed to happen. Okay? And their story was that they fell asleep in the disciples. That's your death sentence. Because they weren't allowed to do that. Okay. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Okay. Again, now this is a then. We're showing a time passage. How much? I don't know. I think it's a pretty good amount of time. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Which, if you want to look it up, we're not going to do it right now because we still got a lot of stuff to go over. You'll find that in Luke chapter 6, verse 12 through 16, where he had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Still, even to this point, there's some doubting that it was Jesus, that he had risen from the dead indeed. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore," here we go. This is very few churches that I go into. Most of them have this Matthew 28 somewhere on there. It's either their mission statement, it's either one of the maps that they got on the wall saying this, "Go ye therefore." This is the one that's used most of the time. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Okay, lots of stuff going on here, and this is the main part of what we're trying to get to. The variations between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on the account, some is because they're trying to point out Jesus is a king, son of man, son of God, and God. You see some differences there. But the main point of what we're trying to say here is look at these commissions. And I say this now, but there was a time when I was teaching this and this was our commission and I didn't see it. There are some statements in these couple of verses that should make it very clear and easy for us to see that this isn't going on right now. And this isn't our commission. But we'll come to that. So let me ask you a question. Now we're going to jump back and forth quite a bit. Let me ask you this question. How did Israel get into the position of an, as a nation above all nations. How did they become? I mean, because
God called them.
Okay, God called them. He
called them their firstborn.
He called them out. Okay, because why? Because after Adam and Eve, everybody was the same. Yeah. It's all a bunch of heathens. Okay, so let's turn back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And let's read, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we can start, I'm going to read just the first couple of verses, but I would say anyone read from verse 5 through 25. But I'm just going to start off in 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And yet ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Okay? And it goes on and on and on and on. Okay? If they do this, okay, he is calling them out and giving them a set of instructions that will make them far above all people. Make them a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Also turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting verse 1. You can read all the way through 14, but I'm not going to read that far for time's sake. Verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Okay? So we see that he's called out these people, not that they were any special over anybody else on the earth, but this is the ones that he chose out. And he gave them some rules and regulations that they were supposed to follow. And if they would do these things, then he would set them on high above all nations, and they would be this peculiar people. Okay. So let me ask you this. How is anyone else, and I'll just say Gentiles at this point, how is anyone else supposed to get saved then? You come through Israel.
That's why they're called a kingdom of priests.
You become as Israel. And, well, we can turn there. We don't have to turn there. Most of you know it. Genesis chapter 12, what is that? I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. And of all the families of them. Yeah, that's a covenant he made with Abraham. Okay? Now, was Abraham any special about him?
Special.
There was nothing special about him. Okay? And
he was an apple worshiper, right?
He was a pagan just like the rest of them. Okay? So, let's real quick like, turn to Genesis. Let's just make a little note about Abraham real quick. Abram. Genesis chapter 11.
Is that Abraham still hold true today?
It will carry on.
Yeah.
Okay, Genesis chapter 11. Now I'm going to read verse 16. Well, if you start at verse 10, you see this is the generation of Shem. Shem is who? Not one of the three stooges, he's what?
Noah's.
He's one of Noah's sons. Okay? So, Shem came from the other side of the flood. Okay? And then this is peculiar because in verse 16 it says, and Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. Okay? Go study Peleg. All kinds of stuff with this guy. Okay? But Eber is in, and I don't understand all the dialects, but Eber means one from the other side, from the other side of the flood. Okay, Eber being Hebrew. Okay, he came forth from the other side of the flood. Okay, then you read Peleg. Drop down to verse 27. Now this is, you go on down, it's begat, hell only live, okay? And in verse 26, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Okay? So we see that Abram is a descendant through a long lineage and went back to Shem from the other side of the flood. Go to chapter 14. And this is where we see the word Hebrew. And there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. Okay? Because he was descendant of those who came from the other side of the flood. So we understand who he is, where he came from, and we understand in chapter 12, I'll bless thee, I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. As an example, turn to Luke. I'd like to give just an example or two that just proves Scripture to be true. So Luke chapter 7, excuse me. And did any of them not make it back yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. Now, I don't know if I'll read the whole thing, but now when he had ended all of his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews. Now this is a Gentile sending the elders of the Jews to go see him. And sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was what? Worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. Okay? He was blessing Israel, and he was receiving the benefit of that blessing coming, following underneath Israel. I can turn there, but we know it. Where else can we go and read about a centurion if we go to Acts chapter 10? Cornelius. Okay?
That's right, the Ethiopian.
Yeah. So, I don't know if it's the same centurion or not, but I know that Cornelius gave alms unto the Jews. Okay? And they the same thing said that he sent his servants. Peter went to him, and we know the story. Okay? So we see it's true. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed.
Even those in the Exodus, when they left, they were grown men they saw what went on. They followed their God.
Yeah.
Circumcised. They took those men up the hill and circumcised
them. So, yeah, and with circumcision, when God gave out the right of circumcision, you take every man within your camp and you circumcise them this day. And if they're not circumcised, they're cut off from the nation of Israel.
Right.
Okay? So, if you were going to follow Israel, you had to follow it. Okay, so Israel, as an exalted nation, were being a blessing to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would come under Israel and be blessed in that way. So then let me ask you this. What is Israel's current standing? Now, you can watch TV commercials, asking you to get money for the Passover Seder. You go into lots of churches and they got these mission trips. We're going to the Jews. And what is Israel? What is going on in Israel right now?
Trying to get them all back.
Israel's in shambles. They don't have a synagogue to worship in. The temple's gone. Okay? So they can't be doing what they're required to do. I mean, they're at war with everybody except us, and who knows with our government how long that'll last. So, they're a wreck. They're just as bad as we are. Okay? Is that exalted nation? Is that how our God is going to take care of that exalted nation? No, I don't think so. Turn to Romans chapter 11.
A lot of them feel as though there's so many that have cursed God that they're just in this stage where God is silent again.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep doing their stuff. The amazing thing to me is, Satan is such a deceiver. All these materials that have come, this certain cow that's been born over the last few years, people think, well, see, this is what's going to happen.
There's the signs and orders that's preparing to happen.
No, right.
They got all the materials set here to build, rebuild the temple.
Then, now, you have grace believers that still believe that in the importance of blessing Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I'm not saying we should.
Don't expect anything in return.
They think it's a God thing, and they're gonna, you're going to see through the grace believers start being divided because you have a bunch of followers saying, see, we told you we're still supposed to bless Israel. So you better look for another dividing line that will come in sometime.
Yep.
Between grace believers.
So, do we, okay, before we make this decision, right, the question was asked, is Israel exalted right now? Well, let's read. Romans chapter 11, and let's just start off in, let's go to verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, which will provoke them to jealousy. Have they fallen? The Bible says they have. Not every one of them. There's a remnant. Peter's flock was still hadn't fallen. But all those who didn't believe did. Okay? So here's this remnant that they talked about up here at 5 and 6. Okay? But you still have some that hadn't fallen. Okay, go down to verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The casting away, does that sound like an exalted nation? If they've fallen, if they've been cast away? Then you can read that in like 17, 18, 19 about the branches being cut off. Okay? And there's passages about that, about those branches being thrown into the fire and consumed. Okay? Drop down to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, but you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Israel is not that exalted nation. Okay? And that is important for us to see.
One of those other guys is that Israel is not even Israel. Those have passed away.
Okay, we'll get that right here. Turn back to chapter 3, verse 9. Israel is not Israel. And that's true. Chapter 3, verse 9. Now, you can read that above it, but I'll get to the point. What then? Are we better? Now, this is Paul talking to us. And are we, well, we better than the Jews were? No. In no wise. For we have before proven both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. Turn to Romans chapter 11. I know we just left there, but I want to read that first. Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. For God hath concluded them. Who's them? That would be the Jews. All in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Okay? He cast them out in the same place that we already were. We're all in the same boat with the same holes in it, taking on the same amount of water. Okay? So we all have the same chance. It's just salvation plan is different now. Okay? They're no longer, in the body of Christ there is no Jew, no Gentile, no barbarian, no Scythian, no bond, no free. Okay? We're just all one in Christ. Okay? So, but now turn back to Matthew. Israel is not exalted. They're not this nation above all. But according to Matthew, they're supposed to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That's the Israel that is Israel.
Yeah, I mean, do you see the Israel now going into all the world? No. And even if they did, it wouldn't work. You can't accomplish that. Israel is supposed to go, was supposed to go, and is supposed to go as an exalted nation into all the world, and every man could come unto them, fall up underneath Israel, and it could be saved. Okay? Yeah, right now it's usually with F-16s and stuff when they're going. And tanks, okay? So as an exalted nation, they were supposed to go out into all nations. Turn to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. We're going to read a couple passages here. Just a little more insight. Verse 9. I'm not going to read a bunch of stuff around it, but just this particular verse. You can go back and read the others if you need to later. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I beheld him. Behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, we've read this before. We're going to read it again. Chapter 28, 1 through 14. And again, it talks about them being this called out people. If you observe and do all these things, I will set you above all nations, above all peoples. You'll be a peculiar people and a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. It's obvious that Israel is not in that position right now. They are not being blessed, and people aren't being blessed because of it. Look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. What curses? If you read this whole passage, he's telling them, hey, I'm going to bless you. If you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to bless you and the people will be blessed. But these other people, these other nations, these Gentiles, I'm cursing them. And they're going to have one problem after another. Okay? And if you don't do what I tell you to do, this stuff's going to happen to you. Okay? Now, drop down to verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get above thee very high, and thou shalt be come down very low. Does that sound like an exalted nation? These are warnings. This is telling the people that, man, if you do these things, you'll be right here all the time. But if you don't, you'll be laid low. How many times did Israel go into captivity? Oh my gosh. I know I've read them, but I don't know if I've comprehended them each time. Over and over and over again. Oh yeah, we'll do what you say. Man, they don't. They take in daughters of the heathens, and they take on their gods, and they do all this stuff, or they don't do this, they don't do that. Okay? So they have fallen. So when is Israel supposed to go out and teach all nations? Well, according to Matthew and these other verses, when they're an exalted nation. That's when they're supposed to go out. When will they be that exalted nation? Because that's what Matthew 28 talked about. Turn back to Matthew 28. When do we see this taking place? And there's one line in the verse prior to that that I've read over and just totally missed. I missed it every time I read it. Go to verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Let me ask you this. Was all power given to Jesus on heaven and earth? Was it given to him? Yeah, it was given to him. Now the next question. Is Jesus exercising all power in heaven and earth right now? No. When is this commission supposed to take place? When he is exercising all power in heaven and earth. Satan's having a field day right here. I can't tell you exactly what's going on in heaven, but I know what's going on right down here in the earth. Let's read a couple of passages. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and I'll read 31 through 33. This is kind of some information leading up to what we're talking about. Back to Matthew 28. 31 through 33. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him he shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep and his goats. And he shall set the sheep. When it, we say that a bunch of times. Sell sheep. I better stop. you know what he's supposed to do? You can read it. On the right hand, the goat's on the left. Okay? So, I mean, that's the way things are supposed to happen. That's what's going to happen. But in the last parts of Matthew, when Jesus goes directly and starts talking about the kingdom, he gives them instructions and information of what's going to happen. He's letting them know about this kingdom that's going to be established. Okay? Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'll start in verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not put under him. Well, what does the writer of Hebrews say? But now we see not yet all things put under him. Folks, yes, all power was given to Jesus, okay? But he's not exercising that right now. That program has ceased. Okay? It's been put in abeyance. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Hurry along here. I hate to rush it. I want to make sure I get all this in. Revelation 5. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all power, and riches, and wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings. To receive all power. Revelation chapter 5. Where are we at here? Okay? Turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And I'll start reading in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season.
Isn't it amazing? Some people think we're living in that period right now.
I know my mom was making mention about that. She's been reading Revelation. And actually, she said Revelations. But
oh, yeah.
That we're living in that time? Yeah. And that's what people...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
R.C. Sproul teaches that today. He has this big Illuminati thing in Orlando and all the Presbyterian churches. Visit and go and gain deception.
So we see that Israel is not that exalted nation today. We know that one day they will be, and they will go out and disciple all the nations. But it's obvious they're not right now. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And people think, well, they may not even notice it at all. I didn't notice it. I mean, when all power is given unto me in heaven and earth is when this commission is carried out. We can't believe that he is exercising all power right now. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. I tell you what, if Jesus is exercising all power right now, then we're serving the wrong one. Because Satan is blinding a bunch of people. That is not exercising all power. He is standing back and letting man have his way. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to go ahead and start reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Who do we wrestle against? Satan and all his band of angels. If Jesus was exercising all power on heaven and earth, would we be wrestling with him right now? No. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. And go to chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. And start in verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. Folks, I mean, is there all kinds of gospels out there right now? Which we don't really call it a gospel, but they're just perversions of it. Okay? Satan's having a field day right now. Jesus is not exercising all power. Okay? This just wouldn't be happening. Read down in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Folks, it's obvious to me that that's not taking place right now. There's something else that we have to make mention of. Turn back to Matthew chapter 16. I mentioned this to Paul the other day when he brought it up in his lesson. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be bound in heaven. What are you getting right there? The one gave him binding and loosening powers, right? Okay? He had the power to give it to him, and he gave it to Peter. Okay, so what does Peter do with go to Matthew 18:18. Again, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask, and that shall be done. Anybody getting that request done right now? For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You know, I've kind of got the feeling that if I'm by myself, he's still with me. Okay? And I know that. Okay, so he has binding and loosening powers. And whatever is bound on earth by Peter and them, it is bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth, it is loosed in heaven. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, I'm not going to read all of it, we'll just start in verse 7. But contrarywise, this is where Paul comes in to the council, and he's having a meeting with them, and they're talking about some stuff. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, who's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, the leaders, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they should go to the circumcision. What did Peter do right there? He loosed his responsibilities to go out to the Gentile nations. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay? Now this is in Galatians, and we know this is pretty early on in the ministry. Why would Peter, James, and John, these books back here in the back, write a letter to you? People want to say that these letters back here in the back, the Hebrew epistles, all these, Peter, James, and John, are writing you a letter. They loosed their responsibility to me. Why would they write me a letter? They're not. These are exactly what that title says. Those are Hebrew epistles written to them for future times. Okay? Okay, now back to Matthew 28. And even if this, okay, I only say even if it is, it ain't our commission. Well, let's see the thing. When we go out and we're sharing the gospel, and these churches go out on mission trips, and they got all these little pieces of yarn going off to these places that they're going, hey, I got no problem with that if they're taking the right message. Yeah. And they're attaching it to the right commission, which we haven't read yet.
Yeah.
Okay? I got no problem with that. But let's just see exactly what we're supposed to do here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Well, let's see. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6 says, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is that the message we're to be taking out? Don't go to Gentiles. I mean, that's who we're going to. Matthew 19. Keep the commandments. You shall have life everlasting. Tell that rich young ruler. Well, is that what we're doing? Is telling people to keep the commandments? If ye forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you. That was a commandment. That was an instruction given by Jesus Christ to His apostles. You only get forgiveness if you forgive men their trespasses. Ask and ye shall receive. We kind of read that just a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Two or three of you get together. Man, you know, if that's the case, two or three of you guys are coming to my house every day. And we're going to start talking about some stuff. Matthew 23, 2 and 3. Observe and do what the Pharisees and scribes, they said to Moses, do what they tell you to do. Is that what we're out teaching people? No. That is not. It's obvious in these three commissions, even though we read John, which doesn't necessarily have a commission in it, that they were not to go to the Gentiles. They were to preach repentance and remission of sins. And I know that's different from what we have today. We don't have remission. We have forgiveness. Remission, their sins are still being held against them. They would go to Jerusalem first, then to Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. And I don't know how anybody can think that even Jerusalem was converted as a nation as a whole. And it just didn't happen.
They stayed there.
Yeah. You know, when the persecution came upon the church, there were those who dispersed. And we can read that through Acts. Man, they went as far as Phoenicia and all this kind of stuff. And were zealous for the Jews only. That doesn't sound like Matthew 28 to me.
Well, Peter and them stayed there too in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Jerusalem hadn't been converted. Okay? And then also we know what we read there in Galatians, that Paul has a new insight. And I have to believe that Peter, in the stuff that was going on, he started to see some things. Because he later wrote in what, well, I say that, I won't say Peter. Somebody wrote, I may have been Peter, I don't remember. Later on, he says, if we need to think that this tarrying of Jesus is for the better, because look how many more people are getting saved.